Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Bert Show.
How's everybody doing this morning? How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, what's going on?
Can't complain. Nothing really, man. Just working, missing my family. They just left, so I'm back to the reality of life.
How long were they in town for?
About 4 days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my mom had, she was interviewing out here, so she was here for the week. She told me, yeah, I'm going to need your place. You know how it goes as a mom. You don't ask, you just pull up.
You say she's interviewing here?
Yeah.
For a job?
Yeah, she's. She doesn't want to stay retired, man. She wants to keep moving.
Oh,
so
right?
I get it. I'm not mad at her. I don't understand it because I would be somewhere chilling. But yeah, she wants to keep moving, so she's looking to interview here.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Abby? What's going on?
You know, this is a question that's easy to answer on a Monday or a Friday, but when it's Tuesday, mm-hmm. I'm out of things to say.
Okay.
I'm still recovering from the weekend. I've got interviews to do this week for the podcast. It's status quo stuff.
Okay. How about you?
Yeah, status quo as well. Got a meeting later today, but I'm trying to plan my hair washing schedule.
Oh.
So I know I need to get it done this afternoon while Jimmy's napping because we have a lot of things to film tomorrow. And I need to make it last till Friday.
Okay.
So that literally was on my mind last night before I went to bed. When is the optimal time for me to wash my hair
mm-hmm.
for the most amount of things I have so I can make it last the longest? Hashtag welcome to being a woman.
Yeah, I got nothing either much, trying to avoid the news. Amanda was supposed to be at her place last night for the very first time, and then I got a text from her saying, okay, I'm codependent. I'm coming over. So that's really it. That's all I got going on. All right, Katie, millennials, youth say, are the most unserious adults. This is your take?
Yeah, I'm okay. Like a 30-year-old teenager. That's how I feel. And I realize that we are the most unserious. So my friend, he is the first out of my friend group to have a child. So it's like, oh, finally someone has a kid. We have a little baby to play with. That's how I always view it, right? And his son just turned one, so he had a one-year-old birthday party, and the theme was his son's first rodeo, right?
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, that's fire.
And that's what I was
that
like.
That's cute.
Perfect theme. Everything's so cute. And so when I received the invitation, I was under the impression, okay, there's probably going to be a lot of kids. It's even in the description. He said, hey, guys, the first couple of hours are going to be dedicated to the kiddos. We'll crank the party up a little later. I feel like that's expected.
Once Junior goes down for a nap.
Yeah.
After the sugar crash of eating, mm-hmm. you know, like having your first sugar and just face planting in the one-year-old birthday cake.
Yes. So I was like, okay, I had to mentally get prepared to see a whole bunch of toddlers running around. That's how I felt before I was going to the party. Now, once I arrived to the party, I look. It's a nice little banner, you know, theme, everything. I'm like, okay, cool. I walk to the backyard and I don't see a single toddler. I don't see a baby, a kid, a child, none of that in sight. I see a little playpen area that I'm like, maybe I'm here early, but I was like an hour late to the time that it was supposed to start. And I'm like, well, where are the kids? Isn't this supposed to be a baby's party? So I go to my friend. I'm like, hey, you know, at least where's your son? He's like, oh, he's asleep. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, get it. Nap time. Don't want to interfere. But where are the kids? Like, oh, well, we invited a few other parents that we have in the neighborhood. Maybe they'll come around. Maybe they won't. minutes later, someone trickles in with a 9-month-old. I'm just like, this is not a kid's party at all. This is what I'm initially thinking. Then I see in the middle of the backyard, there is a mechanical bull.
And not one for babies, but like
a baby mechanical bull. That's going to get Child Protective Services called on you immediately.
No, not for babies.
Not the baby edition.
It's for the adults. And there's people on it like, woohoo. And I'm like, whose rodeo is it? Is it the 1-year-olds or like these 20-year-olds just having a party and everybody has a drink in their hand? There's hot dogs. There's hamburgers. No food that I would think a toddler would be able to eat except for cupcakes. And I'm like, this is what it is now for a birthday party? We're the new adults and this is what we're doing. We're not having a party for the kids. It's a party for us. That's what it was. It was a party for all his friends to get together and say, hey, at least your kid turn one. Mm-hmm. I did not see his son until I was about to leave, and his son finally got up for his nap.
What it should be now is a party saying, yay, you kept him alive for a year. Congratulations. And you haven't lost your mind. Congratulations.
Yeah, right? There is reason to celebrate, yeah.
Yeah, but that's how I felt. I was like, it's just adults sitting around drinking, saying, hey, this is a good old party, but no kid in sight. And a mechanical bull and just pit bull playing in the background.
That sounds like a time, man.
Yeah.
So while I don't belong to millennials, I did have a child later in life. So the people that we hang out with, like Jimmy goes to school with, they're, you know, I wouldn't say significantly younger than me, but the moms are younger than me for sure, right? Like I'm the geriatric mom in the class. And when you go to parties now, there is always a bucket of wine and a cooler of beers. Like it's definitely for the kid, but it is also for the adults because we know nobody wants to be
right.
The Burt Show.
Every week, Kristen takes a look at the dark side of different industries. Oh, this is going to be a fun one this week. The dark side of game shows.
Every industry has its deep, dark secrets. Until Kristen shines a light on its dark side.
Welcome to my dark side.
Everybody on The Burt Show has been watching the top-ranked movie on Netflix, Woman of the Hour, starring Anna Kendrick, which is all about a serial killer that I was on the dating game show back in the day. He was actually chosen. He was so charismatic. The woman chose him. Now, in real life, he creeped her out so much she didn't go on a date with him, and then he gets found out, and he gets, obviously, sentenced for, you know, what he did.
As a side note, we all did feel like it was really, really great. But the last 2 minutes was kind of a wah, wah.
I haven't got there yet.
Wah, wah.
But it got me wondering, ooh, obviously, that would go fall under the umbrella, dark side of game shows.
Yeah, I think.
So I did a little digging, and on the website E-Bombs World, I got a list of scandals and the dark side of game shows. So Rodney Alcala, who was featured on Woman of the Hour, he's the one that's the serial killer that was on the dating show, right? He isn't the only criminal who was on a game show. Super Password also had a criminal on their show. In 1998, a contestant named Patrick Quinn appeared on the show and won $56,000, which was a one-day record. But he wasn't who he said he was. He was actually Kerry D. Ketchum, a fraud who faked his wife's death to collect $100,000 insurance policy and was wanted for crimes in multiple states. An Alaskan viewer recognized him, reported him to authorities, and when Ketchum went to go collect his winnings from the game show, that's when he was arrested.
What year was this?
1998.
Really? I was going to say, because, you know, when you're watching Woman of the Hour, it's based in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have the internet. It's a lot easier to be shady back then. But 1998, man, should have been vetted way better than that.
It's fascinating that they think they can just hide in plain sight like that.
He got 5 years in prison for insurance scam, as the LA Times reported. All right, next. I did not know this, but it makes sense. Contestants are banned from bidding certain numbers on Jeopardy. So Jeopardy has banned certain numbers of particular dollar amounts from being wagered. So numbers that allude to adult things like 69, You are not allowed to bid.
Because you know dudes would just be like, 69, 69, 69.
Ones that have satanic references, like 666, you cannot bid that on Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And ones that are linked to white supremacy groups. So you can't bid 14, 18, or 1488. Those are all banned. Now, by the way, 69 didn't get banned until 2018. And do you want to know why? Because former champion Ken Jennings bid 69 on every final Jeopardy. Icon behavior.
That's funny. That wacky guy.
All right. Next, I got a contestant sued Fear Factor after eating dead rats. So even though the food was FDA approved on Fear Factor, that didn't stop contestants from getting sick while eating it. So in 2005, a paralegal named Austin Aitken sued the show for airing a gross challenge that caused him to vomit, become lightheaded, and bump his head while competing. In the episode, contestants were asked to eat dead rats, and he filed a 4-page lawsuit requesting $2.5 million in damages. Whoa. Do you think he won?
Because
yes.
Because of how you said it, yes.
Yes.
He did not.
You know what you're going on Fear Factor for.
The lawsuit was thrown out, and the executive producer, Matt Kunitz, told Cleveland 19 News, evidently, fear was a factor for him.
Soundbite of the year.
All right, two more really quick. So there was a massive cheating scandal on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the British version, okay? So Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the British version, faced a major cheating scandal in 2003. Major Charles Ingram won the top prize of $1 million. However, his victory was short-lived after producers uncovered a conspiracy regarding his wife, Diana, and their accomplice after the show aired. So every time the host asked a question, Charles Ingram would read the 4 answers out loud. And when he said the correct one, his wife coughed. Or his friend coughed. Mm-hmm. So he would listen for the cough and he'd hear it and then he'd know which answer was right. They deny the allegations. And as of 2020, they were seeking to have their convictions overturned because they are adamant that it was not a scandal.
This is equivalent to the Astros listening for that trash can being hit in the World Series, right? So they knew what pitch was coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And then lastly, Pat Sajak and Vanna White were often drunk while taping. I would be too.
I'm not entirely shocked there, yeah.
So in the early days of Wheel of Fortune, they would drink an average of 4 margaritas each afternoon at a Mexican restaurant across the street from the studio.
Damn. It was lit.
Pat Sajak revealed this while on the ESPN2 show Highly Questionable. He said, Vanna and I would have 2 or 3 or 6, and then come do the last shows and have trouble recognizing the alphabet. He said, I had a great time. I have no idea if the shows were any good, but no one said anything, so I guess I did okay.
That's hilarious.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
There are some dating infractions that are unforgivable. And I think we were all in agreement yesterday that the joint Instagram account was one of them. Unforgivable as a couple.
Absolutely.
How could you? How could you?
Disgusting.
Mo, when I asked you how you felt about it, what was your response again?
Yuck.
Not the worst, though, according to Abby. Not the worst when it comes to dating.
It does make the list, though. But if you've ever felt uncomfortable in the presence of a couple, you are really going to resonate with my list. But you may even feel called out yourself, because I guarantee you some of you couples have probably been a part of one of these cringy moments.
Well, let's see what you got.
I'm just waiting with bated breath.
Let's see what you got. Right, I know what would be number one on my list. In fact, Amanda and I have talked about it before, but I don't want to ruin it if it's on yours.
Okay, so the number one, of course, is thou shalt not have a joint social media account with your significant other. These are the seven deadly cringes that couples do.
Okay.
So the first one, no joint social media account. Number two, thou shalt not say publicly that you're trying for a baby. I don't want to picture that. You don't need to tell me that.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yep. That is so uncomfortable.
I think that puts so much pressure on you, too, when you start telling everybody that. Then they start asking, so how's it going? How's it going? How's it going? And if it hasn't happened immediately, that's going to put a lot of pressure on you, right?
Yeah, it does. That's not something... It's a double-edged sword, because I see some people, if you are religious and you want people to, you know, throw some prayer your way in order for that to happen, then I can understand why you'd want to put that out into the world. But that's probably one best kept close to the vest.
Keep that to your
heart. It's the word try for me. Like, you're trying really hard at that. Like, maybe just say we're really hoping to have a baby in the next year or two.
So you don't mind me saying I am boning every time I'm ovulating.
Because that is all I'm hearing every time you tell me is that we're trying so hard all the time. I don't need to know that.
Pray for us.
No, thanks. I don't need to pray for that.
I'm not going to God about that.
You got Cowboys games to worry about.
Yeah, man. Come on.
God's going to give you a lift. It's got to be a field goal in the last 2 minutes.
All facts.
All right, the third one, still kind of in the parenting realm. Number three, thou shalt not call each other mommy or daddy in public outside of parenting your child.
Oh,
so
no.
If the child's not there, you're not allowed to use those terms.
No. If the child is not in the room, do not call your husband daddy and vice versa.
I'm with you.
Oh, father.
Oh, sexy.
Daddy.
Mother. Nauseous already. All right, number four, thou shalt not talk about your relationship ups and downs in your anniversary post. Have you ever seen someone post about their like 5-year anniversary and it's this long paragraph where they're like, I know we've had our ups and downs, but Pookie, you make it worth it. I don't need to hear about your ups and downs. Just say that you're happy that you made it this far.
And they do say the longer the post, the shorter the relationship.
All right, number five. Thou shalt move the hell over on a sidewalk when you're taking up the whole pavement when a single person is trying to walk by.
Yeah,
I experience this every single night. I love to go for my nightly walks. And you know what? The sidewalks are a little narrow. And when I see a couple walking towards me, I just make direct eye contact for them. I'm just going to see how long is it going to take them to move over. And without fail, they always expect me to go into the street to make room for them.
In your mind's eye, when they're holding hands walking down the street, have you ever seen yourself breaking like right through their grip.
Red Rover.
Yeah, I want to do it every time.
I've done it, man.
It's so annoying. All right, number six, thou shalt keep waiting in line at a theme park rated G. This PDA needs to stop. Have you ever seen a couple like hanging on each other in line while they're waiting for It's a Small World?
There it is.
Yep.
Wait, is that you what you're going to bring up?
Yeah, we're a little. Yeah, I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm. Was that at the top of the list for you, or are you just calling yourself
out? No, I've been guilty of that.
His love language is touch. And he does it a lot.
Yeah, it's a little gross.
He's a very touchy-feely person.
Okay.
But you, like, you, every partner...
With everybody.
Yes.
With anybody in the park.
No.
With Goofy, with Minnie.
But I can say confidently, you found, like, your matches as far as love language goes, because every woman you've been with has reciprocated that love language. Like, I'm not every, like...
It's me, man. It's the common denominator. How can you deny all this?
All right, and the final deadly cringe that couples do. Number seven,
thou shalt keep your weird baby talk slash pet name slash behaviors to yourself, especially off the internet. Like Liliana Wild from TikTok, who decided to share what a love surge is in her relationship.
Want to see the cringiest, most cuddly thing ever? This is called a love surge. And we do this when one of us has like so much love in our limbs that we can't contain it and feel like we're going to explode. So Sean is having a love surge right now, and he's going to wrap around me and shake with the electricity of love until I catch it too and start shaking. And then you explode with a love surge.
Oh, boy. A lot of people.
I feel so much better.
Don't you?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Please do this with Amanda.
Yeah, no, a lot of people call that making love.
The way that they just described it.
What would she do if you went up to her and you're like, I just have a love surge, so much electricity in my limbs, and you did this to her?
I don't think it would be great, Cass.
That would be such a major ick.
The number one for me is the couples dance on TikTok.
Okay.
When it was clearly never going to be his idea, and she forced him into doing it, and they're always awkward to me.
Oh, like the joint dances?
Yes.
The dub dances and stuff like that. Yeah.
I always respect when the guy does it, though. You know? You put up with it. She wanted to do it. She was excited.
No. If they can both really dance, then I'm all for it. Okay. But when the guy just look like he wants somebody to come save him, it don't look good.
So you're being held at gunpoint?
Yeah.
There's a gun behind the camera.
Yes.
So you know the one that's like going super viral right now is that one dancing move from Dancing with the Stars where she's laying on the ground, she has her foot on his foot, and he has to pull her up into his arms, and then he dips her. I saw the best one yesterday. It's a new relationship. She's forcing her guy to do this, right? So she's laying on the ground on her side. She's got her foot tucked into his foot, and he's got to grab her leg and pull her up by her leg, and they do it, and then he goes to dip her, and she farts.
That's the only way it's acceptable.
Amazing.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie, it's okay to move your kid's birthday because they can't read a calendar yet. You could tell them that their April birthday is in December and they'd be like, oh, this is the greatest thing. However, when you're dealing with adults and anniversaries, it's got to be a little different.
I want to make a proposal to my husband, but I want to run it through you guys first to make sure that I'm not totally out of line and being an a-hole, which has been known to happen, right? I think this is a brilliant idea. But sometimes I'm a social cue, so let's see. We are entering our busy season for celebrations. And what I mean by this is every week until the end of January, we have a family's birthday or some other big event or an anniversary or a Thanksgiving, Christmas, what have you. I mean, I'm talking like 15 different things coming up. Starting with today, which is my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday, Hazel.
Oh, happy birthday, Hazel.
Thanks. She's 5 today. I cannot believe that.
And she's celebrating with the flu or something?
Yeah, she's got the flu.
Neat.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
neat.
Hit her pretty hard. So, poor little kiddo. But anyway, and then in 5 days, it is my wedding anniversary with my husband. We did not plan this well. You know, like, they're back to back. So, I want to propose to my husband that we move our wedding anniversary to, like, next June. 6 months. Bump it 6 months because we have nothing going on in the summer. There are no birthdays like in our immediate family. It's literally all right now in this stretch through the end of December. My parents, his sister, his nephew, my sister, like Max, Hazel, like all right now. And I'm just like, it is too much. And what happens is our anniversary kind of keeps getting glossed over or we don't really celebrate it fully because we're like, oh, we got to go all in on Hazel's birthday and then all in on like my parents' birthdays, which are back to back days. Which is kind of cool as a couple, honestly. So I'm like, let's move it 6 months. But then I don't know if that's going to come off the wrong way as me not prioritizing our relationship.
I hate this idea.
Okay.
I hate it so much. And I'll tell you why. And I'm not going to get too serious about it or anything. But
already said the word hate.
Started on play strong.
I hate it. It's terrible. It's awful.
But in a playful way.
Yeah, I know.
I hate it in a playful way. I think when couples, there's got to be a start. When couples start to drift apart, right? And I think life gets in the way so much. You get kids, you got a job, he's got a job and all that. And I think I think every important anniversary should be celebrated and you should make yourselves priority. And by doing that time and time again, putting your relationship on the back burner, I really feel like in your soul sets up this sort of almost an expectation that we don't come first. And I think that's where a lot of couples get in trouble.
All right. But to have your back, what she's trying to do is get her relationship off the back burner and put it on the front burner by designating a time for their anniversary where they can actually celebrate.
But here's what I think is that you put it off for another 3 or 4 months or 5 months, right? Life never slows down. There is always going to be something that pops up.
Nobody knows that better than this one over here.
Right, who has her hands full all the time. So there's always going to be an emergency or this or that. So you move it 3 months and then 3 months becomes 4 months and then you miss an entire year. Then all of a sudden you're not celebrating your love at all. I hate the idea.
Man, you make a really compelling case. I was in here, I was like, this is genius. Because Kristen's right. Like, I do feel like we don't prioritize ourselves because... And it's not from a lack of love or us wanting to. It's just everything else seems like, how do you pick priorities in a world of priorities? And the kids are always going to come first. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to carve out a time for us where I'm like, okay, this can really be our month. This can, you know, though you celebrate on a day, nothing else is going on. So we can actually focus on us. But I don't want it to, like, you're right. Like, the way things have been going in my life, especially, there's always some emergency or something that is screwing up my plans. And I don't want to miss the date completely.
I just want you to remind yourself right now, it's a season, not a sentence. So where we are in life with young kids, this is a season, not a sentence. We're going to get out of this. And then you and Chad are going to get some more time. So I love your intention. I think it's a solid one. Just give it 18 more years and then you guys will be fine.
Yeah, I was about to say, as a guy that has a 17-year-old and a 22-year-old, she's wrong. It's a sentence. There's just never going to be a time where life isn't throwing something in front of you.
Burr, you turn me around on that. Because honestly, as a man, when you first said it initially, I don't think I would have thought anything of it. I would have been like, that's cool, let's do it. But it does seem like it could be a gateway to you continuing to do it because it's never the right time.
Guys, make some decent points.
Well, what if you celebrated in a small way your anniversary? So, like, let's say your anniversary is like a Tuesday coming up in November. Why don't you just have like a really simple day? You get like a Publix from, or you get a cupcake from Publix. It's not a big deal, but then you just plan a trip for the summer. You know what I mean? Like, you don't totally push off your anniversary as if it's just some day that can be moved. But then it's like, let's just be realistic. We can't go away for 5 days right now.
And if the RVs are rocking, don't come a knocking.
It's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/Scorecard Plus for details.
In a country that can seem divided at times, leave it to a euthanized squirrel to bring us all together on the internet.
People are upset.
People are really upset about this, man.
Big upset over what happened to Peanut and Fred. All right, so let me explain this story, because this story, it is so layered. It's taken on a life of its own after the life of a squirrel has just been taken. So Mark Longo had a pet squirrel and a pet raccoon. The pet squirrel's name was Peanut. Peanut had an Instagram account, Peanut_the_squirrel12, which had almost 700,000 followers. And Mark cared for Peanut for 7 years. He actually rescued Peanut after witnessing its mother get hit by a car in New York City. So he took the baby squirrel and he raised it. And they did all kinds of tricks on Instagram. Like, this was his beloved pet, okay?
They found the one kind person in New York City.
Yes. But last Friday, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, a part of the state's government, seized the raccoon and the squirrel. I'm going to call it, you know what? Seized Fred and Peanut because they were sharing a residence with humans, creating the potential for human exposure to rabies. Apparently, a person involved with the investigation was bitten by a squirrel. So somebody narked on him, called on him. They come raid the home. They take Peanut. They take Fred. And they immediately go and euthanize both of them to test for rabies. And now there is outrage. There's outrage in New York. So much outrage that bomb threats have been called into 10 New York state offices.
What?
That's how pissed people are.
Wow.
10. The outrage is so bad. The governor, Kathy Hochul, had to break her silence on the scandal. Now, they are not talking about the euthanization of Peanut and Fred, right? They haven't addressed that, but they have addressed and said over the last 48 hours, at least 10 bomb threats have been called in to the Department of Environmental Conservation.
This feels like a Family Guy episode or a South Park episode, not real life.
So it has sparked such widespread indignation that William Shatner, Captain Kirk, has weighed in on Peanut's untimely demise.
This is the last time he's weighed in on anything.
He said, I just heard about hashtag Peanut the squirrel. He was 7 years old and a pet for 7 years. How could he be considered a wild animal when all he knew was being a pet? Now, keep going. There's been so much outrage that there's a GoFundMe page for Peanut and Fred, and it's all to support Peanut's Freedom Farm, because that's where Mark and his wife live, and they have like this huge plot of land. And so $180,000 has been donated to this GoFundMe for Peanut's Freedom Farm. And then also Mark and his wife have an OnlyFans page, and it's been very lucrative for that as well.
An OnlyFans page just for the two of them, or this involves the squirrel?
I don't know, because I don't have OnlyFans.
Because things are getting weird real quick.
Yeah. I haven't visited. Maybe they were doing the squirrel a favor. I can't answer that question. All I know is that the couple have a very spicy OnlyFans page, and the death of Peanut and Fred have increased traffic to their OnlyFans page.
Okay, so the one part of this whole thing that I don't get is, what's the controversy with the agency that swarmed the apartment like SWAT to get to the squirrel?
Well, they're on a farm.
If the squirrel did indeed bite somebody.
Yes, technically, that's what they're saying. Allegedly, the squirrel bit somebody, which is why somebody got called and then they came in. But they are now passing. There is a lawmaker in Albany who has been inspired by this incident, and they are proposing new legislation to beef up animal rights in New York State. So it's titled Peanuts Law, Humane Animal Protection Act. And this would mandate a 72-hour waiting period before animals from sanctuaries can be put to sleep.
I didn't have a gummy, nothing this morning. Is this really happening?
This is really happening.
Here's my thing. This was their pet.
It was.
And if a dog bit somebody and, like, you know, they were fine and they, you know, it wasn't like a fatal wound or anything, and a government agency came to their house and euthanized a dog, we would be outraged. We would see this as a huge, huge overstep. And so why do we have different rules for certain types of animals? I mean, I get it. Like, I know a squirrel and a dog are a little different. I'm sure I'm going to get DMs about that.
Love is love, Abby.
Love is love. And this sounds like a bad Pixar movie gone wrong.
It sounds like, honestly, the only thing here is the rabies. So if you got bitten by a dog and that dog did not have any rabies shots up to date, the same thing would probably happen with that dog because they have to euthanize the animal and check the brain to check for rabies. And rabies can lay dormant for like years in raccoons. I think it's more rare in squirrels, honestly, but at the same time. So if you get bitten, that's how they have to test for it.
I'm not familiar with the story, but there feels like there's something missing. Like they were, you know how like when a cop maybe will pull you over because for like a brake light being out, but they really want to check your car for something else. It feels to me like they broke into this place for something else and they used the squirrel. Something doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel bad because they have been very tearful on social media because they raised Peanut since he was a baby and that was their pet for 7 years. And you obviously get very attached to a pet after 7 years of raising them.
If you're the person who snitched said that Peanut actually bit them or a squirrel in general bit them.
No, I'm from what I'm understanding from everything I've read, and I'm embarrassed to admit how many articles I've read about Peanut and Fred, but note that it was Peanut that bit somebody, and so then they called the authorities, and then the authorities literally like came in and swarmed the house and took both the pets and euthanized them.
If you're not online, you don't realize what a firestorm of controversy this has been. Anywhere on TikTok I go,
it's everywhere.
On Instagram I go right now, the country is talking about this, which might be a nice diversion, to be honest with you.
So many absurd conversations, though. Like the person who called into to report the squirrel, like, first of all, had to get on the phone and be like, I want to report a rogue squirrel. And then the team who swarmed the house, do you think they're like, honey, I got a big gig tonight. We're going to go SWAT on a squirrel on a farm in New York. You're right. It's an episode of South Park.
There are men and women that have trained for years and years and years for stuff. And this is... Sin, good morning. You're part of the Bird Show. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling. What's up?
I just wanted to let you know that an animal as small as a squirrel doesn't carry rabies, because if something large enough with carrying rabies would end up eating the squirrel instead of giving the squirrel rabies, the squirrel would die.
This is outrageous.
All right. So Mark, the owner of the squirrel, he joined TMZ Live yesterday and he wanted to make sure everybody knew he was not using this tragedy to promote his OnlyFans page,
but brought it up on live television.
The last thing I want, Harvey, is to talk about our OnlyFans page. So don't even ask me about it, Harvey. Our OnlyFans page is off limits here.
I won't tell you it's at Mark and Peanut right now. No.
But he actually said he thinks his OnlyFans is the reason his farm got raided in the first place.
Whoa. Okay.
Why? They hating on his OnlyFans?
I don't know.
Now I'm curious what's going on that.
I kind of want to know.
Right? It is so incredible how much this story has blown up over the last couple of days.
Poor Peanut. Whatever was going on that OnlyFans, Peanut, maybe they did save this little guy.
I hope Peanut and Fred had nothing to do with the OnlyFans. Oh, look at Peanut with the cowboy hat.
We should really have a moment of silence.
I don't know. Peanut, that doesn't make me feel better about the squirrel OnlyFans.
The Bert Show.